Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president, Local 237 Teamsters. With me, I have two very special guests, Christopher Bayonne and Vito Pitta. And they are both attorneys with the law firm of Pitta Bayonne. And I have to tell you, the preference, we're taping today is Wednesday, July 24th. And we are taping one day after the passing of the 9/11 bill. And the show is going to air Saturday. So we're talking in present tense. So at this point, we know the bill is due to be signed on Friday, but we cannot predict what's going to happen between Wednesday and Friday. So this is one of our most important shows. It's a solemn show. At the same time, it's a happy show. Gentlemen, welcome to Reaching Out.
Thanks for having us here, Gregory.
Christopher and Vito.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having us. We appreciate you highlighting this issue, which is important for all of us in New York and certainly your membership and really around the country.
So let's talk about what happened with Never Forget the Heroes Act in the Senate yesterday. You tell us what led up to that and what occurred.
Sure. So Chris and I actually were down in D.C. yesterday. We were at the session of the Senate where the bill was voted on. But as you know, and as many of your listeners know, this is a saga that has been going on since September 11th, 2001. This has taken 18 years to get to this point. And part of that has been overcoming political hurdles, but part of that is also just overcoming and seeing the science behind what has happened to people's health, given their exposure to a horrible mix of chemicals and toxins that was released into the air on September 11th.
Christopher?
So we just got back last night. It was a historic day for sure. A lot of the attitudes in the room were of relief, and I think that John Stewart captured that in his conclusion at the press conference afterwards. As long as people got through the hard part, and it's not a celebratory thing, as John was saying, but it's a breath of fresh air to finally relax and go on with their lives and return to their families.
The bill that was approved yesterday is really the third version of the Victim Compensation Fund. When it was initially enacted in 2010, it was a five-year program that allocated money both for health care and for compensation for people that have gotten sick. And it was only authorized for 5 years. 2015, we had to go through this process again, and it was extended another 5 years. And that second authorization was due to expire next year. What happened that really became the impetus to move this forward was earlier this year, the Victim Compensation Fund Special Master, which is the office that oversees and implements the program, put out rules that reduced compensation for people that had gotten sick because she acknowledged that the fund was running out of money. A lot more people than they had anticipated were filing claims, and they were legitimate claims that needed to be paid out. And in order to ensure that the maximum amount of people that had gotten sick would receive at least some compensation, awards were reduced anywhere between 50 to 70%. People that had very serious illnesses, in many cases cancers, they were getting 30% of a compensation award, whereas someone in the exact same position a year prior would have gotten the full 100% of that compensation. And that really led to a crisis. And the advocates who are tremendous, labor, people that have gotten sick, like the people that the bill was named after, actually Luis Alvarez, who went down to D.C. to testify there shortly before his death, was one of those terrific advocates, along with John Stewart and John Feel and many of your colleagues, Greg, other labor leaders here in New York, and all of that collective action got us to this point today.
Christopher?
So just to piggyback on what Vito said about the cuts, although the cuts were between 50 and 70%, the way it was calculated in some cases would result in awards that were low as 5% or 0, depending on the situation. So we had a lot of our clients who were going through immense stress, including clients who were representatives of their deceased family members. And when someone dies of a 9/11 related illness or cancer, and the family is looking for some help from this fund that they've been waiting on for many years, to be told, sorry, here's only a small fraction of what you were expecting or what we promised you, was very heartbreaking to see among our client base. And it was hard to hold their hand through that, but we're thankful that this was finally passed so they have some relief.
Okay, gentlemen, what happens next?
The president has indicated that he will be signing the bill on Friday, and he'll be having a bill signing ceremony. Obviously, that's subject to change given what demands there are on the president and his schedule. But we hope that goes forward on Friday, and the bill itself is effective immediately upon signature. So once that bill is signed, then it's up to the victim compensation fund itself to start implementing. And I think the first thing that they will focus on is looking at the awards that have been already reduced, because the bill authorizes money to make all of those claimants whole. So anyone that has received a reduced award since that policy was announced in February will receive the full amount of compensation that they otherwise would have been entitled to. So the VCF has to go back and issue those additional awards, and then going forward, they will just go back to their prior practice of paying out 100%. They have been extraordinarily efficient. Given the amount of claims have been submitted, the process at some time seems long, and certainly for people that are very sick, in some cases terminal, the VCF does make accommodations to expedite those claims. But under the authorizations in the bill and the amount of funding, this program will just continue uninterrupted until 2092.
Christopher?
So right next, we're going to look at what's going to happen with the claims that were already cut, make sure those people get taken care of, and then continue to get the message out about what happened with the air and the dust that was causing all these illnesses. It's not ending now. It's unfortunately, people are still going to get sick. It's important that they know about these programs so they don't go under the radar and their families are not taken care of as they should be.
Now, someone may be listening for the first time, and after 18 years, they may be crawling from underneath life and just woken up and figured out that they were also involved in 9/11. What is the criteria for this fund to be a participant?
So the most basic criteria, speaking generally, would be being present in the exposure zone, which is the area below Canal Street, areas along the route of debris removal, the Fresh Kills landfill, barges, garages, and piers where the dust and debris were handled between 9/11/01 and the summer of 02. So that's the baseline criteria. Once someone could establish they were present and they were there enough time, it's possible the government will find that they have a 9/11 related condition. And those conditions range from respiratory illnesses, asthma, bronchitis, rhinosinusitis, to lung diseases, sarcoidosis, silicosis, asbestosis, all the way up to almost any type of cancer you could think of, brain cancer, lung cancer, kidney cancer, or blood cancers, and rare cancers that unfortunately we see more and more, and they're not so rare in our client base or in the 9/11 community now.
And Vito, is there an expiration date? Is there a due date? Is there a cutoff date for someone to claim 9/11 funds?
So with the latest bill that was passed yesterday, the program itself will have a October 2090 deadline for submitting a claim.
October
2090. That is the latest point at which someone that was exposed and has a condition could file under the language of the bill. However, up to this point, the VCF practice and the statute provided basically an individual filing deadline based upon the type of condition, respiratory or a cancer are treated differently, and the time at which the person has been diagnosed. So with respect to cancers, once you're diagnosed with a 9/11 related cancer, and the practice has been when you're certified, so when the World Trade Center Health Program certifies that the condition was 9/11 related, you then have 2 years to file a claim for compensation. With respect to respiratory conditions, that's treated differently. You had to have symptoms before a certain date, and then that would start the clock. So it's really an individual deadline. So anyone that knows they were down in the exposure zone below Canal Street really should do some investigation and speak to someone that has some expertise in this area, because what we find is that if we put out this general deadline, some people may either feel that they've already lost their ability to file, or that they have time and they, you know, they could come back to it. However, and we've seen in our clients that we really need to know that someone's individual circumstances before we can say exactly what the deadline they would have is.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. With me are two attorneys from the firm of Pitta and Bion, Vito Pitta and Christopher Bion. And I have to say this, because you mentioned they need to contact someone who specializes in this service. Since you two are two that specializes in this service, how would someone listening to this show get in touch with you just to ask questions and see if they or family or loved one is eligible for 9/11 funds?
So they could either give us a call or check out our website. The phone number was 844-WTC-COMP, C-O-M-P, and the website is 911benefits.com, 911benefits.com. And we have information on there about these benefits that are available to people who have been exposed. And if they get in touch with us on the phone, we're able to talk to them and see if they have a claim. And if so, they could choose to enlist our services to help get through the process and make sure that their rights are taken care of under the law.
Now, in our conversation thus far, we've been focusing on the Victim Compensation Fund, which is the fund that provides lump sum payments for people that have gotten sick, either as pain and suffering awards or lost earnings. So if they were disabled because of one of these conditions, they potentially can receive money for the income that they lost. However, there's a sister program, which is the World Trade Center Health Program, that provides health care and treatment for 9/11 related conditions. And when the Zadroga Act was last reauthorized in 2015, the health fund was extended until 2090. So that's why in recent months there hasn't been too much discussion of that program, because it already will extend until 2090. But so even for people that will be thinking about compensation, they also should be aware that they're entitled to health care, free health care, for any covered condition.
Now, what was this bill called? Because the former bill was the Zadroga Act. Was this one named after Zadroga, or was it given another name?
So when it was initially introduced, it still made reference to James Zadroga. The full title of the bill was Never Forget the Heroes, the James Zadroga Permanent Authorization of the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund Act. However, in the last, about a month ago, the bill was renamed after the death of NYPD Detective Luis Alvarez, who actually had gone to D.C. numerous times throughout all of the authorizations. Most recently, testified in the House when the House was considering this bill, and shortly thereafter succumbed to his 9/11 cancer. He had gone through, I believe it was 69 rounds of chemo. Tremendous fighter he battled his cancer this long and still made time to go down to D.C. and fight for his brothers and sisters and everyone else that was exposed so that they would receive the same types of benefits in health care and compensation that he did. So after that, the bill was then renamed to add Detective Alvarez's name and also Ray Pfeiffer, who was FDNY firefighter that also had succumbed to a 9/11 related condition and was also very active in lobbying Congress throughout the years that the Zadroga Act had been authorized and reauthorized.
It's been almost 18 years since the 9/11 attack. We hear about first responders dying almost every day from 9/11 related cancers. Do you think this is the beginning of the end of that cancer epidemic relating to 9/11, or is it the end of the beginning?
It's hard to say right now if it's going to be the end or not, because we're seeing more and more cancers. We're not seeing less of them. And I think the reason is some of these cancers take a long time to develop, even though the exposure seems like it was so long ago. For the cells to be subject to the cancer, it does take some time. For example, some types of mesothelioma, for instance, could take 40 years to develop. And as the data comes in from the World Trade Center Health Program, we may see more conditions there. We don't know. And we could only watch and see what happens anecdotally, just from looking through our own client base. It seems like this is going to get worse before it gets better. We have people who are way too young to be diagnosed with conditions that they should not have been diagnosed with. Healthy people getting these horrible cancers, getting these aggressive cancers that are hard to treat. So it's tough to say right now.
And part of the reason that it is tough to say is that we don't necessarily have a full picture of everyone that was exposed. So while certainly first responders, uniformed personnel, recovery workers were very much aware of the Zadroga Act and making sure that they were monitored for exposure, everyone else that was in Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 01 and May 30th, 2002 may not know that, one, they were actually exposed, and two, that they are potentially eligible for health care and compensation for any illnesses that they developed because of that exposure. So we may not be seeing the full trends right now. I think certainly with the news coverage that has surrounded the reauthorization, more people will become aware of their potential eligibility and start investigating their own health circumstances, and as they come forward, I think we'll be getting more data on the types of cancers and other illnesses that are developing.
Once again, Vito and Christopher, for those who just tuned in, who heard that, and they think they may be eligible or they know someone who's eligible, how can they get in touch with you?
The easiest way to get in touch with us is through our website. It's 911benefits.com, 911benefits.com. On that website, There's the ability to email us. We have a live chat option where you, at any time of the day, you can get a live person on the other side of the chat and provide them some information about your individual circumstances, and an attorney will contact you to discuss. We also have a lot of informational material on the website that can be reviewed. And we actually have an office right across the street from the studio here in Lower Manhattan. We have an office in Albany. We have an office in Staten Island and another in Brooklyn. So even if someone wanted to do that in person, they can get our physical office locations and call to make an appointment.
Now, what types of compensation does the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund provide for claimants?
So the compensation is issued in a lump sum, and it has different categories that the government looks at to see what individual amount is awarded to the victim. The first is pain and suffering, and that is calculated looking at the conditions that person has been diagnosed with and how severe they are. The second would be lost earnings. So some people get disabled from these conditions, and when they become disabled, they can no longer work. So the government will make them whole to give them whatever they missed from leaving work early due to the 9/11 related conditions. And the next would be out-of-pocket medical expenses. So some people have bills that could add up quickly from cancer treatment and things of that nature. So if they keep their bills and keep good records, the government will reimburse them for those costs, and we'll help them do that, make sure they get the most they are entitled to under the law. Now, if they continue, if something happens in the future and they get sick, another good thing about this bill passage yesterday is that they're now covered for what will be the rest of their lives. So God forbid something else happens to them, something more severe, then they could just hit a few buttons, put their new information in, and they'll be able to get either additional compensation or health care through the Victim Compensation Fund or the World Trade Center Health Program.
Okay.
And just for your listeners, in terms of dollar amounts, those dollar amounts for pain and suffering do depend on the type of condition. The maximum dollar amount for pain and suffering is for a cancer condition, and that's $250,000. On the respiratory condition side, those range, as Chris mentioned, depending on severity and type of condition. But things like asthma, if it's not very severe, tend to be on the lower end of the compensation scale. But maybe something like COPD will be on the higher end. So maybe between $10,000 to $90,000. And that, as Chris mentioned, is issued as a lump sum and is tax-free.
That's very good information. Listen, I want to thank the two of you for taking up this cause. Is there anybody that you didn't mention that deserved thanks? I mean, at the risk of leaving someone out. You got the fire department, you got the police department, EMS, the Port Authority Police Department.
I think we have to certainly mention sanitation,
corrections, court officers.
I mean, you'll remember, Greg.
Yeah,
I mean, you were in the city.
This was a total effort. Housing authority members.
Absolutely.
Went down. School safety.
DOE employees.
DOE. CUNY was involved.
Absolutely.
I remember a few dogs were in the search and rescue, and those dogs passed away from CUNY.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the state AFL-CIO, the New York City Central Labor Council, and all of their affiliates really took up the cause. And you know, Mario Salenta was with us there yesterday at the press conference, and he spoke. And this could not have happened without all of those advocates involved. And this is the work that you do. This is the work that we as attorneys do in our practice, not only in our 9/11 practice area, but representing labor unions as lobbyists and labor attorneys as well.
Well, Vito and Christopher, I'd like to thank the two of you from the firm Pitta and Bion for coming in and discussing this very important issue with our listeners. I'm Gregory Floyd. You've been listening to Reaching Out. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.